Good morning, everybody. I about said Happy New Year. I guess it's still in the new year. Got a special treat this morning. I'm going to bring Amy up in just a minute. But it's going to be a little bit different. We haven't taught together, in a while. Okay? And so these next few weeks, we're going to teach together. But this morning, we are going to start the small series on something that's very exciting. It's going to excite all of you. Okay? Spiritual disciplines. You guys, some of you are faking the woos, but I really appreciate that. Okay, these are very fundamental things. This kind of looks like a periodic table, okay, and some very elemental things about our walk with Jesus. But this morning, we are going to talk about prayer. I noticed there were no woos. Thank you for that. If you're a guest, the enthusiasm is contagious. You'll get it sooner or later. If you're online, it is palpable. But, this morning, and we're going to try to do a little different, and we'll discuss that as we get into it, okay? But how many like the word discipline? Okay, so we have three people that may be lying, may not be lying, or the very courageous, brave, outstanding people. But typically, we think of discipline, right? We can go back to our childhood when we had been disciplined, right? Or something that just takes a lot of effort, right? And so that may not be our favorite word. But this morning, I'm going to bring Amy up. But before I do that, I want to show you a little video. But first, here's a little disclaimer, okay? We didn't make this, and we had none of you in mind when I picked this video out, okay? But what I want to do is have a little bit of fun at the beginning, maybe demystify prayer just a little bit if we can. But I'm going to have Amy come up as we show this video. So here's some tips, okay, to help you know how to pray a little bit better. Okay, so watch this.
Hi, I'm Johnny.
And I'm Chachi.
We're Get In Here Ministries.
You know, a lot of people come up to us and ask us hard questions about God and the Bible and spiritual living.
And you know why? A lot of those questions are softball questions for us. There are actually some pretty good ones. One of them being, how do I have a better prayer life? Well, good news, we got some killer tips to a better prayer life.
Before we do that, though, let's start off with a title and some dance moves.
No, we're not doing a title and a dance. Let's just kind of get into this.
When you're saying a prayer in public, you want to use the phrase Father God as much as humanly possible.
Just last week, I said a 30-second prayer and got 17 Father Gods in it. Now look, I'm not bragging. I'm just saying with a little bit of effort, it can be done. If you have a prayer request but don't actually want to request it, simply say unspoken. I currently have 6 unspokens that I'm praying for this guy about.
Johnny, sorry to bother you, but I actually have another prayer request.
Okay, what?
It's unspoken.
Okay, well that's 7. And while I have no clue what I'm praying about, someone does.
Just no one human.
The Bible says pray without ceasing, and well, we believe in the Bible. Chachi has been praying without ceasing for over 32 hours now. Chachi, how do you feel?
What, who said what? Where am I?
Well, Chachi, you have been praying for over 32 hours straight. You feel pretty good?
Can I get a restroom break?
Not if you want to fully obey Scripture. Let's say you become privy to some juicy information about someone, but don't want to be seen as a gossip.
We've got good news. You're good to go if you put it in the form of a prayer request.
I still cannot believe what Jill said to Keith.
I can't believe it either, but did you know that John got canned?
What? Let's talk about it in prayer group. Some think your prayer position is irrelevant, but we have found that your prayer position can not only boost your prayer life, but can stretch you physically. Chachi, why don't you go ahead and show us some examples?
Well, I wasn't really planning on praying, but I guess I could give it a shot.
Okay. Oh, very nice. Good, that is classic. Wow. Seriously, wow.
The last thing you do when you pray is fairly obvious. You say, amen.
And if you happen to be in a group of people holding hands, it's imperative that you accompany that amen with a physical action known as the hand squeeze. The squeeze lets the people on either side of you know, hey, the prayer's over. I care about you, but I'm letting go now.
And when you are holding hands, never interlock, because that can make your prayer partners a little uncomfortable.
We want to thank you for watching, or shall I say, growing in your prayer life.
Yeah, now can we do the title and the dance moves?
No, just kind of say thanks for watching. And that's seriously unreal.
This is actually my miracle position.
So any similarity to anyone is purely accidental. Okay, so we didn't pick this out specifically to pick on anyone. But, well, that's it. That's all we have for this morning. So we're going to close in prayer and assume the miracle position. Then we'll be done. Thank you. I should take an offering now. It'd be the biggest one we've ever had. Like, woo, what a great service. Listen, here's a question to get us started. Then we're going to jump into this, okay? Like I said, we want to kind of maybe demystify prayer a little bit, even though it's a very powerful thing and essential part of our walk with the Lord. But here's a question, and I do encourage you to text in, and if we can get to something, we'll actually try to answer a couple of questions live if we didn't get to it kind of during the message. But what is your biggest challenge in praying? Okay, you personally, if you're a follower of Jesus, you probably know, yeah, I should probably pray a little bit. I'm not going to ask that question necessarily. Who thinks they should pray? Yeah, okay. But what is your biggest challenge in praying? Okay, you can go put that up there with the Cornerstone Connect number, all right? Text that question in. If we get it soon enough, we will try to mix it in, okay? And we're going to discuss a couple challenges that we believe, you know, a lot of people have, maybe the two biggest ones in just a minute. So thank you for joining me today.
You're welcome.
Are you on? Okay, yeah. Good. Good to have you this morning. But so this morning, we want to encourage you this morning, because when we were talking about, like, the one thing that we don't want to do is for you walk out of here going, yeah, I should probably pray more, you know, and feel terrible about yourself, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's kind of what we don't want to do, because if you're here this morning and you're a follower of Jesus, we probably don't have to spend much time on should you pray,
yeah.
Okay? But in case there's somebody new to following Jesus,
yeah.
Okay, somebody watching online or even listening later, or maybe you're not a follower of Jesus and you're like, what is that all about? You know, you think it's just, shouting in the void or something like that.
Yeah.
We want to take just a couple minutes to talk about why pray, okay? But again, this is going to be probably the shortest part of our message, because we're going to assume most of you know. You probably should, especially if you follow Jesus for any amount of time at all. But how would you, Amy, to answer that question? Why pray?
Well, I think for me, what it boils down to is if we truly believe that God is real, that he's all-powerful, that he listens to us, why would we not avail ourselves of that relationship that we have with him and bring to him all of our needs and requests? I know a lot of people in my life that don't follow Jesus, when something is bad is happening, they'll say, like, sending thoughts and prayers, or like, we're sending you all of our good thoughts. I'll be honest, I don't really know what that even means, and I don't know how to send my good thoughts to someone, but I do know that there's a God in heaven that listens to me, and when I ask him to help my friends, I believe that he hears. And right. So to me, praying is availing myself of that relationship that I have with a God who loves me and who listens to me.
Right. If you're a sports fan at all, a recent example was the Buffalo Bills player Hamlin, who got hurt. Everybody was posting online, we're praying for you, blah, blah, blah. And my inner cynic came out. Like, I don't want to reveal too much behind the curtain. You guys think I'm perfect all the time. But most of the people, I'm like, number one, I know you're not praying. Or number two, I don't know who you're talking to, because everything else you post seems to indicate you are probably not a follower of Jesus. Now, were there millions of people legitimately praying for him? Oh, sure, I believe it. Okay. Yeah. One ESPN host actually prayed online. I saw a clip of that earlier, had the guts to do that. But we see that all the time, thoughts and prayers, and some people are like, I really want to ask the follow-up question, who are you talking to?
Yeah.
You know, so there is a fundamental thing I believe inside of us in those moments that knows there's, or hopes there's something bigger than us, and I think that's really what's calling out to people. But yeah, we believe that the Bible teaches that we should pray, that we were created to know God and to talk with him, which is what prayer is. It is talking and communicating.
Right. Because if Jason and I, like, we have a relationship, right? But if neither one of us ever talked to the other, like if we just lived in the same house and completely ignored each other, like we wouldn't really have a relationship. A relationship implies communication.
Right.
And that's what prayer is. Prayer is just all of the different ways that we communicate with the Lord.
Sure. And quickly, we're going to hit a couple scriptures on this. Then we're kind of going to move on to challenges. That's where we're going to spend the bulk of the time because we want to, again, not just convince you that you should or maybe should more. We want to discuss some things that will maybe be helpful to you. But prayer is powerful, okay? And James chapter 5, there's a great example of that, speaking of Elijah. But I want to move on to really the most obvious thing. Jesus assumes we are going to pray,
mm-hmm.
All right? I think we have a slide of this. In Matthew chapter 6, in three verses in a row, he says, when you pray, when you pray, when you pray. Okay,
yeah.
Even in Luke's gospel has part of this message of when you mm-hmm. pray. There's an assumption by Jesus that his followers will pray.
Yeah.
Okay? And Paul as well, there's many verses, even in the Old Testament, we can find many examples of people praying,
mm-hmm.
find examples of calls to prayer, instructions to pray. Paul says, pray continually.
Which okay. doesn't mean like we saw in the video.
Yeah, you can take a bathroom break. Okay, so that was not the perfect illustration of that. You know, Paul asked people to pray for him,
mm-hmm.
okay, as he's writing letters. And so the call to pray, the instruction to pray, the encouragement
yeah.
to pray is all through Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so, again, we don't want to spend a ton of time on this, but we want to talk about the challenges to prayer, okay? And if you're newer to the faith and you want to know a little bit more about prayer or maybe what it is or why a little bit more, connect with us, even text us like, hey, like to talk with somebody because we definitely want to do that. But this morning, we want to help in a practical way if we can. All of you that are following Jesus mm-hmm. that may be frustrated with your prayer life or lack of one. And again, I don't think we have a silver bullet because it is a spiritual discipline.
Which okay. means we have to work at it and grow in it.
Right. I want to read a couple of these that I have so far, and I think we're going to answer some of these. I'm going to come back to them, okay? And but remind me not to
teased us.
Forget that. I am. You want to know what other people are
thinking? What are they?
Thinking?
What are other people
You've
saying?
You've got to stay till the end of service. But we're going to start with what I think is probably one of the biggest challenges to prayer, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it may not be your number one, so this is not a strict ranking, but how about not knowing what to pray, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what to pray.
I don't know what to say.
I don't know what
Has
to
anybody
say.
Ever felt that way? You sit down to pray and
Especially
you're like,
Especially if you were newer to following Jesus,
it's
like
do.
You have this, like,
yeah.
I should probably do something and I don't know what to do.
When I'll be honest, like, I have a discipline of prayer in my own life, but I get up and I pray first thing in the morning. And sometimes I sit down and I'm like, I don't even know what my name is. Like, it's early in the morning. I haven't had my coffee yet. I'm like, how do I do this again? So we're going to go through this, and we're going to talk about some suggestions of what to pray. If you're brand new to praying and you don't know what to pray, or if you've been following the Lord for 50 years, and sometimes you sit down to pray and you're like, I still feel like I don't know how to do this.
Hey, so these are just a couple suggestions. Some of you probably use some of these, but we again, our goal is really to encourage someone that's growing in prayer, that needs some ideas, needs some help. But one of the things you could do is you can use a model or a formula.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean like a mannequin and A squared plus B squared C. That's a different mm-hmm. type of formula. Okay. Here's one that we pass out every monthly prayer gathering that we have. Okay. Some of you have heard of this. It's the ACTS prayer model. I believe we have a slide of that. All right. It's
Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, Supplication. It's an acronym. And I've seen a lot of different iterations
sure.
of this. Over time, but basically what it is, those are some big words, but we are praising and thanking the Lord for who he is and what he's done, and we're confessing our sins and bringing our needs to him. And that pretty much covers the basics of everything that prayer is, as far as like what we're supposed to say.
Right. And I encourage you guys, if you are wanting to grow in prayer, come to our monthly prayer gathering, and we're always trying to tweak those and change those.
Mm-hmm.
There is not a test at the door to be able to enter.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We talked about it. We considered it. We thought that's probably a terrible idea, right? There's tryouts for the team, right? You've got to pray good enough, well enough, to be able to get in here. Okay, that's not the case. So we have a prayer thing we hand out. We're going to hand you guys something before we leave today that has this on there as well. This is just an example of something that you can do. All right. just kind of give structure so you're not lost. Somebody had texted in earlier, focus, all right? Is there challenge in praying? Mm-hmm. Okay, I think that a lot of people can relate to that. I relate to that.
Yes.
Because I can be thinking of a gazillion things at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's like right now, I really want to make a Chiefs comment and how the Chargers lost last night, but I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, just all right? Let it go.
And how many people picked them to finish fourth. Okay. Number one seed. Okay. But I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to get distracted because I never have a focus problem, okay?
Never.
So a model or something like this can help. And there are others, okay? Mm-hmm. You can find those. And here's one of our favorites. Did you have anything
else?
Well,
I was just going to say, I often come back to this model when I'm feeling a little distracted or like I don't know what to pray. Because of the reason, one of the main reasons I like to come back to this is because it starts with adoration. That's kind of what we were talking about this morning during worship. If we start with worshiping the Lord instead of starting with our needs, it just kind of reorients our focus a little bit and puts our problems in perspective. And then when we confess our sin, that allows us to humble ourselves before the Lord. And then when we thank him for what he's done before we ask him to do new things, like all of that just brings us to a place of being able to humbly receive everything that the Lord is going to give us. And so I think this is a really good model, and I use it a lot. That's all I was going to say.
Okay. No, it's good. You should be up here more often. So hopefully that helps. That's an easy example. You have some scripture there. So we're going to hand you something. If you know you're not hanging on to a sheet of paper, take a picture with your phone because we're getting ready to move on with it. But here's a really good one, okay? Especially if you're newer to the Lord and you've not even been around other people, this isn't necessarily one of the points. You can learn how to pray when you're around other people, but you can also learn some goofy things too around other people, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't be around other people. It is what it is. As everybody's learning, everybody's growing, okay? And the whole Father God thing, a lot of times that's filler because you don't know what else to say.
It's kind of like a spiritual equivalent of
Yeah. Instead of saying you get Father God. And listen, I know you guys think I've always been this mature, but I'm going to let you peek behind the curtain a little bit. Sometimes I'm transparent with you. I'm not going to lie. In Bible college, when we went to chapel, I had a notebook. I would keep score on how many Father Gods by different people. And so in my old notebook, which I don't have anymore, we had a high score. And somebody, I know the example in the video was like 17. They blew way past that. We're talking dozens of times in like a two-minute prayer. I know because we kept score and then somehow I became a pastor. I don't
know. That's an example of what not to do.
Yeah, probably
right?
Don't do that, okay? But I hadn't thought of that in, well, I was going to say a couple years, but a couple decades is probably more accurate. But here's the next one that we like too. Look to Scripture. Model your prayers after other prayers in Scripture, mm-hmm. right? If we believe that the Bible's inspired,
and
right?
We do.
That is a great place, probably the best place to look, mm-hmm. to see how other people prayed, to see what they prayed for.
Yeah.
Okay.
When also, if you grew up in a tradition where maybe you prayed a lot of rote prayers, if you went to a more liturgical service where they had like call and response kind of prayers or written prayer that you would all say together, the Bible is a great place to find some good examples of what to use for those kinds of things.
Sure. In rote prayers, we're not saying there's anything wrong with that. Sometimes that helps you get started.
Absolutely.
And we're going to give an example in a minute. That's better than just kind of staring into the void, okay? Mm-hmm. But if you've come out of a tradition like that, and then you're in a place like this where we're challenging you to pray on your own, use your own words, making that transition can sometimes be challenging or difficult.
Yes.
Like, I knew how to repeat or I knew how to say something I memorized. How do I shift that? So here's a good place to start, okay? When Jesus' disciples asked him how to pray, all right, he taught them, okay, the Lord's Prayer. Most of you probably know this completely or partially. Maybe you learned it as a kid. I know a couple of these we're going to talk about today. My mom had me memorized as a kid. But in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus teaches the disciples how to pray. He said, this then is how you should pray. All right, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we've also forgiven our debtors, all right? Mm-hmm. He's talking about sin, okay? Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, okay? And so are you saying, hey, should we start the day just reciting this? If you're doing nothing, yeah, that's a great place to start.
Absolutely.
I used to work for a pastor. He started every day with the Lord's Prayer, mm-hmm. okay? Many mornings I will, but I will pray my way through it.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's
Can we maybe break that down for them and explain how that goes?
How would we do that? Okay.
Okay. So if you look at the first line, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." We were just talking about the Acts model, starting with adoration. This prayer does that. It acknowledges that God is our Father, that he dwells in heaven, and that his name is worthy of praise. That's where we start. So maybe you pray that, and then you think of two or three other things to say on your own, to tell God how worthy he is before you move on to the next part. Then, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yeah. What would you say that's about?
Well, you're asking for God's will to be done in your life, in your family. If you have a business, maybe in your business, okay? We pray that for the church. You know, God, let your will be done in church.
Yeah.
And if there's something that, let's say there's a big question mark in your family or with a career or whatever, this is a great time. Mm-hmm. Lord, let your will be done in my family or in my job or in my life. And I'm not even sure what that is. And then you can couple that. Mm-hmm. This could be a launching point to spend a few minutes asking the Lord to reveal his will to you.
Yeah.
And so this prayer, as you continue through it, can help prompt you to pray other things. And if I pray the Lord's Prayer, that's usually how I will do it. This is kind of a structure like the Acts model, but it's the Lord's Prayer, and it's a jumping off point to pray all of these other things.
This is often, if I'm praying through this is often also where I would pray for unsaved loved ones.
Sure.
The Bible's really clear that Jesus someday will come and rule a physical kingdom on earth. But right now, God's kingdom is expanding in the hearts and minds of people. Everyone who calls Jesus king is a part of his kingdom. So for God's kingdom to come, we need to pray for more people to come into God's family. So if I have unsaved loved ones that I'm praying for, I usually pray for them during this part of the prayer.
Yeah. Yeah. Give us today our daily bread. You may be gluten-free, okay? But this doesn't have to be bread. Thank you, sister. But this is where you're asking Lord for things that you legitimately need. And you can even pray, God, shape my view of what I actually need and what you think I need.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Because sometimes I want things that aren't legitimate needs. Anybody ever been there?
Yep.
Right? So this could be a jumping off point for that. God, provide for us as a family of what we need. Help us to know what we really need. Really need, kind of shape my thoughts, my desires.
When I like the word daily too, because that always reminds me that like God doesn't give me the grace for things that I'm going to face 3 months from now. Like God gives me what I need for today. And if he's done that, that's sufficient. He can provide what I need for tomorrow.
Right. And the next thing, forgive us our debts. That's our sins. All right.
Yeah. So this would be a great time to ask the Lord to search your heart and, any unconfessed sin that you have in your life, small or big, and work through that.
Yeah, we had someone write in that they have trouble praying for people they don't like. Okay,
ooh, yeah,
this
that's
is where
a good
this
one.
Might fit in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then even if you continue a few verses after that, Jesus goes on to talk about forgiving others as the Father's forgiven you. If you don't forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins.
Yeah.
Okay, so you add a couple more verses on to the Lord's Prayer here out of Matthew. All right. Mm-hmm. Might be a little motivation to help you with that.
When I often find if I get through that first half and I don't have anything that I feel like I need to confess, and then it's like, as we also have forgiven our debtor, the Lord will often bring to my mind kind of bitterness or resentment that's creeping up in my heart for offenses that other people have committed against me. And then I can go back and I can confess that and then keep
we
going.
We don't have to talk about that in front of everybody else. So, like I said, I'm sorry. Right, then this last part, lead us not temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. The translation in all translations are a little misleading. Jesus doesn't lead us into temptation, but this is just a prayer of protection. Okay, this is where I'll often pray for discipline or strength or just anything to live a life that honors God and not give in to maybe what you really want to do sometimes or give in to whether you have a particular temptation that's really the one you're battling or just a daily thing of I ran somebody off the or wanted to run somebody off the road. Yeah. I have a lot of driving examples. You guys notice that?
Yeah.
Like I'm not really a rageaholic. It's just, some people don't know right of ways. Okay, so I can't hear that. Sorry. So you.
She's tallying your.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. That's good for your spirit to keep track of other people's failures. I'm going to move on. So does that make sense? Some of you, that is probably not new information, but for some of you, I'm hoping that helped. You know, if you're newer to the faith, how to use something like that. You know, for me, it's always kind of a launching point, but it allows God to use Scripture to bring other things to your mind, like, hey, you've got something against that person, or hey, you need to present your needs to me. I'm probably coming to hit you.
Yeah.
And you've got to trust me with those, you know. But Jesus said it's okay to pray for the needs.
Yeah. Well, and we don't have it on this slide because it's not actually in the text of Matthew. If you have a Bible with footnotes, it's probably in the footnotes. But in Luke's gospel, this prayer ends, and, you know, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So it puts us back right at the very end in that frame of mind of adoring and worshiping the Lord, of ascribing all the glory that's due his name. And that's a good place to end your prayer too, just reminding yourself one more time that, like, all of these needs that we bring before the Lord pale in comparison to his power.
Yeah. And if, for those of you that struggle in prayer or feel like you don't pray enough, if you're at zero, even if you just prayed through this every day and didn't even do a lot of jumping off, I believe this would really benefit you in your prayer life, okay? Yeah. And you can do that on the way to work while you're driving, okay? And that'd be helpful to you. We're going to get some practical how-tos in just a minute. Let's look at one more, and we're not going to go through every verse, but Psalm 23, okay? Anybody familiar with Psalm 23? I think this actually was the first thing my mother ever made me memorize. She'd hit my hand if I got it wrong. No, I'm just kidding. Right? The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his namesake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, Amy and I, we went through this. This summer will be 3 years. It's hard to believe. It was COVID summer, okay, and most of them were on video. We went through the Lord's Prayer, but if you're looking for a prayer of really, if you're dealing with fear or need to trust God to provide for you, this would be a great one to pray through and use any of these verses as a jumping off point. Or even just read this, kind of get it into your mind and your spirit before you pray, okay? Yeah. And anything else on this particular one?
No.
Psalm 51, if you feel like you've really failed, that's the prayer that David prayed when he committed adultery, okay? That was a prayer of repentance and coming back to the Lord and crying out to the Lord, okay? That's a huge one.
Yeah, you guys are probably familiar with some of it. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That's a great thing to pray if you're confessing sin to the Lord.
And we've got a whole list of some of the psalms that would be good to look through, to pray through. We're going to leave this also on the handout that we're going to give you here. But whether you need reassurance of God's presence, you just a prayer for safety or wisdom. The psalms are full of prayers of David that can help shape and guide your prayers.
Yeah.
Okay, whether you work your way through them or it's just, like I said, to focus on before you pray on your own.
Well, and if you're really new to prayer, reading through the book of Psalms, I think would be a great exercise for you, because we see in the book of Psalms like a vast diversity of needs and ways that people bring their complaints and concerns and worship before the Lord. I think the book of Psalms altogether gives us the full spectrum of everything that prayer can be. And we tried to pick out some different ones here that we really like and use for those things. And you can see kind of in this list, there's a lot of different things covered there as far as what you might need on any given day. And I didn't actually put this on the list, but another one that I really love is Psalm 139. I'll often start my prayer time with the last two verses of that psalm, which say, "Search me, O God, and know me. Test me, know my anxious heart. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way after everlasting." I will often start praying that, because I don't know my own mind and heart, but the Lord does. And so he can bring those things to the surface that are needs, anxieties, sins, that I need to root out and confess before him or bring before him. So all of these are great places to start if you're trying to learn how to pray, because these were collected into the Bible on purpose. And it's to teach us how to pray.
Well, and a couple quick things. We're going to move on to kind of some practical maybe helps for you. But when you're newer to the Lord, you're newer to praying, sometimes you feel like you've got to sound like, you know, when I was growing up, you felt like you had to pray in King James. Okay.
Thou, O Lord.
I am that old. Okay. If you didn't pray in King James, you were doing it wrong. Okay. And it was just the generation that primarily used that, and that was the words from Scripture, and that's how they, doesn't say it's wrong, but that's not something that you have to do. Or how many of you ever felt like, you know, maybe the longer that you prayed, the more effective it was, necessarily? But Jesus told his followers, like, don't keep babbling like the pagans, because God knows what you need before you pray to him. Mm-hmm. Or the Pharisees, because he was... Yeah. Pharisees would pray long-winded prayers because they thought it made them look more spiritual. They were more spiritual, okay? And so, if you have a lot of stuff to say, it may take you a while, and that's okay. It's not a sin to use many words, but he was condemning using many words to make you appear more spiritual, like you had it, you know, figured out, mm-hmm. okay? But in that little teaching, it's like, listen, you don't have to use a lot of words if you don't have a lot of words. It needs to be a heartfelt, honest communication with the Lord, mm-hmm. and so it's pretty clear on that. And so, listen, I'm going to read some of these because I think this part will address a lot of them that I have. So here's some, and I'm going to read the names so you can point and laugh at them. Sorry, that was just to see if you guys were still listening. We're not going to do that, okay? Here's one that says, you know, challenges making time consistently, right? Yeah. Probably a lot of people can relate to that. Mm-hmm. And not having prayers become stale and redundant, mm-hmm. okay? I know that. Easy for that to feel like that. Taking the time to dedicate, finding a quiet place, being alone. Okay, mm-hmm. if you got a house full of people, sometimes that is a challenge. Okay, setting time aside is another one.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Don't mind us. We'll wait. It's fine.
I'm just checking my fantasy team. I'm just kidding. This season's over. Yeah, setting time aside, getting quiet enough. These are all very similar. Okay, mm-hmm. time to listen. All right.
That's a big one. That's hard for me.
Yeah. Make sure I didn't. Here's one. Praying for people you don't like. That's silence. You guys are great at that. Then, okay, you guys. You know, Jesus says to love your enemies and pray for those that persecute you. All right, that fit very well within. The Lord's Prayer there.
Yeah.
All right. And that's the thing. In Scripture, Jesus doesn't give us loopholes for our feelings.
Yeah.
Which is really hard for today's culture, where feelings have become an idol. Mm-hmm. Feelings have become the definer of truth. All right? Mm-hmm. Even though it's not. Jesus doesn't say, wait till you feel like it. He says, pray for your enemies. Bless those that persecute you. Yeah. But it is hard. And I think that's where... like in the Acts model or the Lord's Prayer, being in an atmosphere of worship mm-hmm. can help kind of refocus us.
Yeah.
And then asking the Lord to forgive us as we forgive others, where we remember, okay, grace filter, guys, if you guys remember anything I ever say that those 2 weeks, okay, God, the grace that you've given me, I've got to show to somebody else.
Yeah.
If we continue reading after the Lord's Prayer, it's not optional. Okay.
Well, and as we're confessing our own sins, I think that brings that to the forefront of our mind too, that we needed God's grace, that we daily need God's grace, and it helps us to be more gracious to others. But also, if you will pray, I was talking to somebody about this just recently, if you will pray for people that you don't like, and you just do it, even though you don't feel like it, even though you don't want to, I think you will find if you have a regular habit of doing that, that your heart towards that person, if you really pray honestly, like for God to bless them, not like, oh God, change them, they're really irritating, make them nicer to me. But you're praying like, Lord, give them favor in their job, provide for their needs. If they're feeling anxious, I pray that you would give them peace today. If you pray those kinds of things for someone you don't like, and you do it on a regular basis, the Lord is going to change your heart toward that person, because prayer knits our souls together in a way that is kind of mysterious to me. But it's real, and it's going to cultivate love in your heart for that person.
It's kind of like building a muscle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you won't always notice the results until later. Mm-hmm. Just in any type of drawing near to the Lord, whether it's prayer, worship, it's you are building something, all right? Yeah. You don't see it overnight. So let's kind of move on here because some of this applies. We're kind of already there. The second biggest thing in our mind was not just knowing what to say, but finding the time.
Yeah.
Okay? Like, I have trouble finding the time. And a lot of these comments were either this or related to this, okay? Mm-hmm. We want to give you some practical suggestions for the next 2 hours. Some of you laughed confidently. Some of you act awkwardly, like, weird. But here's an easy one, okay? Like setting alarm or reminders on your, most everybody got a smartphone now.
Yeah.
Setting alarms. Mm-hmm. I've done that with scripture that I want to learn. Or, and some of you can relate to this. I have a hard time sitting down for very long. Mm-hmm. Okay? I'm struggling right now. It's only been like 25 minutes. All right. And so, especially for a few years, I would have reminders come up on my phone to pray for different people or things with scriptures attached. Because there's times I'm better at doing that 25 times a day for a few minutes than I am trying to find 30 minutes where I can be still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that just that really challenges me, okay? So some of you that are a little more scattered maybe can relate to that. And so using technology that you have to help you set aside times.
Yeah. Another good tip, you know, when you talk about forming new habits, one of the things that like brain experts say is the best way to cultivate a new habit is to tie it to something that is already a habit.
You're talking about brain experts. You guys notice that? I don't know what that means.
It's just, we're different. It's okay.
Okay.
If you tie a new habit to something that you already do, you're a lot more likely to do it. So like if you're trying to exercise, maybe you exercise at the same time every day after you do something else. So if you tie prayer to something that you're already doing, and we already do this a lot. How many of you guys pray before you eat? And that's not just because there's something magic about blessing the food. Eating is something we do several times a day. And if we pause and pray every time we eat, that's at least hopefully 3 times a day that we're praying. And if you make that an intentional time of prayer, not just, you know, God is great, God is good, let us thank him for our food. If you pray seriously, even if it's just for 30 seconds, if you're like, Lord, we're so thankful for this food, bless so-and-so, amen. I mean, that's prayer that you wouldn't have done otherwise.
Yeah. If you have kids, ask your kids or ask your spouses or something. You know, it can be quick because you don't want the food to get cold.
Amen.
And in our marriage and with kids, we've had times where we've done this better than others. Just admittedly, you know, sometimes it's like, we just want to pray. We want to dig in. Sometimes we'll pray for a missionary. Sometimes we'll pray for, you know, and sometimes we just, man, it's the food we're going to eat. So listen, I don't want to pretend that we're spending 30 minutes in prayer before our meal while it's sitting there.
We're really
okay?
Spiritual, you guys.
You know, like, yeah, the Instagram Christian family, you know, oh, they're, you know, and we even interdigitate. So we hold hands.
Because we're married.
But yeah, attaching it to something you already do. If you have a commute, okay, when we lived in the Nashville area and I had to drive 15, 16 miles, that would take 30 minutes to an hour and a half. That's a great time to spend a few minutes to pray.
Yeah.
Okay?
And it can really be anything that you already do. I start a load of laundry every morning. I have prayers taped up on the inside of my cabinet where my laundry detergent is. The Bible says our righteousness is like filthy rags. And so every morning when I'm starting a load of laundry, I remind myself of that, and I thank the Lord for his grace that washes me clean every day. And it's like such a little thing, but it's something I'm doing already, so I might as well just pray for a second.
Yeah.
So it can be literally anything that you're already doing. Tie a quick prayer to it, and you'll find that you're building this discipline of prayer in your life.
Man, your grinder in the garage when you're sharpening the mower blades is iron sharpens iron. So I don't have that. I just thought of that.
It's a great idea. I'm going to make that for you.
Please
do. Put it in the garage.
Okay. Yeah, just attach it to something you're already doing. Because if you don't do that, what's your other option? Creating a new habit.
Like just from scratch.
Which is one of the hardest things that we do, right?
Yeah.
Especially if it's a discipline. All right?
Yeah.
We could challenge some of you to create a fourth meal, and that would be perfectly fine with you. That would be easy. Because you want to do that already. But sometimes we know we should pray as followers of Jesus, and we even want to, or we want to want to, if that makes sense. So it's sometimes hard to make that new habit or routine. Mm-hmm. And so, again, the power of connecting to something you already do. Because here's the thing, if we can maybe demystify for just a second. I don't think we have ever from the front told you to pray a certain number of minutes a day or read your Bible a certain number of minutes a day, right? Because naturally, if you're like me, you know, like, ooh, I got to do something that is super spiritual, and I got to pray an hour a day, right? Mm-hmm. You start big, and what usually happens is you create this culture of failure and shame, or the cycle.
Yeah.
Man, I didn't make that, or I made it for a week, or I made it for a month, and then I didn't. So all we've ever challenged you to do, and I think this is a good place, and it's just, again, it's like working out. Whatever you're doing now, try to add a little bit to it. Mm-hmm. If you're doing zero, if you read your Bible 5 minutes a day and prayed 5 minutes a day, that would be huge. Because it's more important to be consistent than it is to try to take a big swing, right?
Yeah.
And then strike out, and you're like, oh, well, I didn't do that. Mm-hmm. And so you give up altogether.
I heard a Bible teacher say once that the best way to grow in spiritual disciplines is to dream big, but to start small. So maybe you have a vision of where you want to go. Maybe you do want to pray for an hour a day, but you're not anywhere close to that. Start with one little prayer. Start with saying the Lord's Prayer when you get up in the morning. And then once that's like a really solid habit, add to it just a little bit more. And you're going to find that you grow in that discipline over time.
Yeah, because some of you are probably at zero. And we're not trying to shame anybody. That's not right. But if you would just take 5 minutes, man, whether you're, you know, in the car or whatever, listen. Sometimes I have to get out of the house. We've talked about distractions, okay, or I just can't sit. The minimum maintenance roads here in South Dakota are amazing for stuff like that, okay? You drive fast or slow as you want, and nobody's on them, right? Mm-hmm. And but find a place, find a time. Use a prayer app. There's prayer apps out there. Echo, yeah. There's a free level on Echo, which is really helpful. Mm-hmm. Set reminders, and you can go through things. I want to wrap it up here.
I did want to say one other quick thing with regard to distraction, because using prayer apps works really well for Jason, and it doesn't work like at all for me, because if I bring my phone with me into my prayer time, like I'm not on a prayer app. Like 30 seconds into prayer, and I'm like, what was that thing that I wanted to buy at Walmart? Let me add that to my cart real quick, and then let me check my email real fast and just see if that person responded. Like, I can't have my phone with me. So I don't use a prayer app, but I do bring a list with me into my prayer time. Like a list of the things I'm praying for, but also like a blank sheet of paper to write down like all those things that I think of. That way I don't have to hold them in my brain while I'm trying to pray. And I usually leave my prayer time with a longer to-do list than I make any other time of the day, because those distractions just come at you so fast. But if you can keep disciplining your mind and trying to eliminate the distractions, I think you'll find greater fruit in your prayer life as you continue to pursue the Lord.
Yeah, and I don't hold the phone if I use a prayer app. I've used it in the sanctuary. I set it on a stand, and it cycles through things like a little mini slideshow. It kind of prompts me, mm-hmm. and you can set how long you want it to be on a particular thing. So for me, that helps keep me
going. Yeah, and that was called Echo, by the way, that prayer app.
Yeah, because I have them coming pretty quick, because me, I will start to wander if it's on one thing for too long. So I've kind of found my sweet spot of long but not too long, you know. What are you laughing at?
Nothing. That's a great idea.
Hey, listen, we need to land the plane here. Any final thoughts?
No.
Okay, good, because we need to land the plane. Thank you. I'm going to ask you to, Amy's going to, and Frank, can we get your help too? We've got some handouts that we want to give you guys, all right? They've got some of the stuff that we have talked about today, because again, we wanted this to be practical, some helps. Listen, this is a half page. It's some of the stuff we hand out on our monthly prayer gatherings. You can take a picture of it, keep it in your phone, you keep it in your Bible when you're praying. Make your own list, make your own scripture. Just come up with a plan. Okay? Because that is probably the most important thing to do, whether it's prayer or Bible reading, have a plan. Because if you don't have a plan, you leave it up to how you feel in the moment, a good chance it doesn't happen or it doesn't happen well. Okay? Listen, I'm going to have the worship team come back up right now, and we are going to just close with a worship song, kind of thank the Lord again, spend some moments worshiping Him. But I want to challenge you this morning. Listen, just ask the Lord to help you in your personal disciplines, okay? And just ask Him what you need to do next. And I really want to encourage you, don't set too big of a target. It's not because we don't want you to grow. It's the fact that I want you to grow, and I've been around this long enough. If you're praying 5 minutes a day, and you're like, I'm going to go to an hour or 30 minutes, good chance in a week or two, you're not going to be praying at all, okay? Ask the Lord to help you grow in that, and He will, all right? Consistency is the key. So you do 5 minutes, you go to 10 minutes, and you'll find yourself quickly like, oh, I need more time. You build it like a muscle, okay? It's a discipline, and I believe the Lord will honor that. And so I'm going to ask you to stand this morning, and then we're going to come back and close in prayer together. But thank you guys for listening. Hopefully you found some things that will help you in your walk with the Lord. And listen, if you're not a follower of Jesus, whether you're here or you're online, if you've got a question about following Jesus, please use our text number that we had up before. Use an online Connect form or one here in person. You can put it in the giving box or take it to the Connect Center. But we want to help you grow. And if you want to talk to somebody about what it means to follow Jesus, we want to do that as well. So let's just take a few minutes to worship the Lord. Then we're going to come back and pray together.